Creating great content takes time and effort, and this podcast could not exist in the long run without great partners. This season's sponsor is Catalog. Catalog is a work hub we use every day at Modern Leaders, and I also personally recommend it to my network. It's basically your own digital headquarters, helping you and your team making high-quality decisions quickly and asynchronously, reducing the number of meetings and eliminating the chaos of modern-day work. Whether you're the COO, a product manager, or a marketing executive in a remote or hybrid team, you can find what you need, see who's working on what, and get updates on where things are at without the endless streams of emails and pings coming from everywhere. It's all in Catalog in context. Sign up now at catalogwithaq.com. That's QATALOG.com for a free 30-day trial for you and your team. Welcome to the Remote First podcast produced by Modern Leaders. Every other Tuesday, listen in to hear from large or innovative companies enabling an equitable and distributed workplace experience. Hi there, this is another episode of our Startup for Remote Work series. For this episode, we are talking about how to build a culture of learning in your remote-first organization. And to do so, I am chatting with Saurav Chopra, founder and CEO of 5Minutes. Welcome to the show, Saurav.
Great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for coming over, and I want to learn everything about what you're working on. So before we start, you know, can you share a bit more about what is 5Minutes, the app that you're building, the story behind it, tell us everything.
Yeah, absolutely. So 5Minutes is a bite-sized learning platform. You know, our focus is to help organizations, teams build a culture of learning. Some call us the TikTok of L&D.
Oh, cool. That's interesting. So how does it look like? So if it's TikTok of L&D, so L&D, like learning and development, is it like you can swipe through videos about different topics? Like, how does it look like, the experience?
Yeah, so the experience from a user standpoint is very simple and similar to some of the best consumer apps that they're, you know, already used to, like Instagram Reels or TikTok. So you get a feed that you can swipe up and down. What is unique is that we actually personalize the learning experience to you. So when you sign up on our platform, all you do is pick your role. And based on your role, your level of experience, your function, you just get a personalized learning feed with a collection of 3 bite-sized lessons every day. If you do those lessons, it takes about 5 minutes of your time. And that's why we call it 5 minutes. So with as little as 5 minutes every day, you know, you can upskill and grow yourself, you know, through this personalized learning path that we are providing to you.
And what's your story? Like, where do you come from to think about, okay, we need to have an app like this? Like, why did you come up with that idea?
Yeah, so previously, you know, I have been kind of in the employee engagement, employee experience world. Prior to this, I set up a company called Perkbox, which is a company that helps employers connect, care, and celebrate their employees. And it works with about 5,000 companies around the world in 60-plus countries. And when I was scaling Perkbox, my biggest challenges was building that culture of curiosity and innovation at Perkbox. We had curiosity as one of our core values, and we had a lot of really curious people. However, when we scaled, it became a lot more difficult. You know, we invested a lot in learning budgets. We had a lot of sessions, like lunch and learn sessions. We had external speakers come and speak at Perkbox, but somehow something was missing. And whenever we had, you know, feedback surveys, one of the areas that employees always wanted more support on is how do they learn and grow and develop themselves? So in spite of all the efforts we put in, very committed exec team, very committed HR team, and the employees that were super keen to learn, we just were not able to crack it. And then when I asked, you know, other startup scale-up CEOs, who were all very curious people, who all wanted to build this culture of curiosity and innovation in their companies, they were kind of struggling with the same problem. Learning had become a checkbox exercise. Unless it was compliance related, you would not get mass participation. And so we created 5 minutes to really fix that by removing the friction around learning. So the realization for us was that there's a lot of friction around learning. You know, people don't have the time. B, most people, especially in their earlier on their career, don't know what to learn. So with 5 minutes, you know, it's really about solving the challenges that I saw scaling PerkBox, and also realizing that if you actually build that culture of curiosity, you know, we're all very, very curious people. It's, you know, that's why we travel. You know, everything, every development, every innovation in society is down to humans' curiosity. But what happens is that when you move into the workplace, somehow that curiosity just drops and people lose curiosity. People just get busy, busy, busy. And on the flip side, if you could harness and nurture that curiosity, build that culture of learning, it could really transform teams, it could transform companies, it could transform people. You know, you'll help people unlock the real potential that lies within them. So that's really what our mission is, you know, and it's based on the learnings I had, some of my team members had while scaling PerkBox, on what are the challenges, what are the problems, what are the friction areas, how do we move it out of the way so that we really help people nurture their true potential.
That's awesome. I really like how the passion you have, you know, when talking about the culture of learning and really wanting to create the best experience for the employees. It's really fun to hear. It's just exciting to hear and hear talk about that. And you know, you mentioned, you know, that you bring a lot of people on site to do like speakers before, but then, you know, despite everything you're doing, is it because there's a lack of engagement normally in the learning programs? Like, suddenly this podcast is about remote work or a remote first culture. Like, is there something that intertwines there where you try to build something that is like learning and development friendly, but also remote friendly?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, you know, the future of work is remote. So I think definitely whatever platform is out there to solve any challenge around, you know, employee engagement or any, has to be remote friendly. No question about that. So we've built a lot of elements in there that cater to those needs. So let me take a step back and talk about, you know, why is learning engagement a problem? So I think at a broad level, learning engagement is a huge problem. I think if you look at across any company, you know, what you will find generally is that even the most, you know, kind of forward thinking in terms of their investment into people's learning and development, what you find is that there is a very small percentage of people who are active learners, you know, depending on the type of company, maybe 5%, maybe 10%, maybe 15%. People are very active. They will learn something every week. They'll invest in their growth every week. And so that is always there. The challenge is that, you know, for success, for helping people nurture their full potential, that number needs to 50, 80, 90% or 100%, not 5, 10, 15%. So there's a huge problem in that learning engagement space. The second problem is that, you know, the way we learn in companies is completely different to how we learn as kids or how we learn at uni and so on and so forth. So what I mean by that, and that actually causes dissatisfaction, and that also automatically leads to lower learner engagement. So if you don't feel you're learning enough, if you feel dissatisfied, you automatically are not going to be engaged in the future learning programs that your company is launching. So learner disengagement, massive problem. Why is it a problem? I think fundamentally is that the way we learn in companies is very ad hoc and sporadic. You know, it's a very classroom-driven mentality. Let's run a course. Let's get everybody together in a classroom, run a course. Let's do it every 3 months. Let's do it every 6 months. We'll do it all day. We'll do an offsite or something like that. Or we will send someone to do a course, right? So it's a very course-centric mentality. Now, what is the problem with that? The problem with that is a couple of things. From a neuroscience standpoint, you know, we don't learn ad hoc, sporadic. That's not how our brain learns, right? So if you look at kids, you know, how do they learn, right? When they learn at school, it's our first layer of education we get, is it involves certain key elements that are core to learning science. So firstly, you know, it's what we call chunking, right? So you break complex or larger pieces of information into bite-sized digestible pieces, right? So first you break into smaller pieces. Then you, you know, instead of binge learning, which is what courses are about, which is one-off, you take those chunks and then repeat them over time, right? So the second is repetition. So if you, instead of doing like, you know, a leadership course one day offsite or a half a day or 2-3 hours, how about do 15, 20 minutes every other day or every week so that you chunk it into little bits, you then repeat them. And then the third thing, which is really important, is recall. So in order to build a long-term memory, You want to be able to recall what you've learned pretty quickly by putting things into practice or then recalling it from memory. That's where kind of the quizzes, things become interesting, but not on the day necessarily that you've binge learned, ask you the quiz the same day. It's about, how about asking them questions related to the concept maybe a week later or 2 weeks later? So I think it's just the traditional workplace learning model is binging, and how we learn best is, you know, what we call grazing, which is little and often, and with recall, so that you actually build those, strengthen those neural connections and put them in your long-term memory. So I think that's a fundamental problem, which is why, you know, 80% of people say from their, what they're learning at work, they don't feel satisfied. You know, it's a consistent information. Lots of studies have been done by, you know, organizations like LinkedIn, McKinsey, and so forth. And I think the fundamental problem is, A, the method of learning is not right. It leads to dissatisfaction. The second problem which drives, I think, learner engagement is that a lot of people, you know, the way learning is, again, in companies, very individual learning, you know, need to encourage a social learning. People learn best when they learn together in teams. So either they learn, team learning is really, really important. Peer learning is so important because that drives the motivation, right? And I think the third area is around making learning, you know, guided for your people, especially when they're early on in their career or they're looking for career mobility and things like that. Because a lot of people don't necessarily, especially if you're a fast-growing company, a remote company, a distributed organization where you don't have that many interactions between people, it's very difficult for someone to say, hey, this is exactly what I want to go learn and implement, right? It's easier for engineers because they're very kind of, you know, framework driven or language driven, and they'll follow those paths. But if you don't have that, you know, it's very hard for you to know, oh, what do I do, learn now to actually be better at what I do? So we need guided paths. And that's what teams and companies should provide. So I think there are kind of three things. You know, first is the method of learning, which is that chunking, repetition, recall. It's completely missing. What you have instead is ad hoc, sporadic binging, which one forgets very, very quickly. And the second is around that, not having isolated learning experience, but having peer learning experiences. And third is about having those guided paths. I think to add to what you said is that everything gets much more complex in a distributed world, right? So if you're talking about peer learning, it's a lot harder to do if you're distributed than when you're in the same office sitting together. You know, isolation is stronger when you're working on your own somewhere else. And that can obviously have that impact on motivation as well. So I think in generally learning is broken from a learner engagement standpoint. The problems in the remote world get even more amplified. So teams, managers, you know, HR, and the execs need to pay even more attention to this if they really want to build a culture of learning, a culture of curiosity that helps their business with innovation and better business performance. In a distributed world, they need to pay even more attention, much more attention than they would do prior to COVID in a world where most people were sitting together in an office.
And you were mentioning engagement. And, you know, what I'm wondering is, if engagement is already difficult in a place as in person, or you say that, you know, the learning experience is broken or it's not meant to be how our brain is functioning, like, how is it better using like an app or something that is like a day-to-day things? Like, how does that work? How do people stay engaged? Because what I would be worried about is if I create a lot of content and then, you know, people can watch it whenever they want, a little 5 minutes here and there. But like, does it just add up or is a thing on the side where maybe this, how do you keep people engaged with the content and wanting to continue learning? How do they find the right content for them? Like, I'm curious about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think one of the key principles is kind of coming back to what I mentioned earlier is that people need learning paths. So what we do in our platform is that, you know, for every role in an organization, we've created a skills taxonomy or a competency matrix. And based on your role, when you sign up on our platform, it's a very quick 20-second sign-up process. We just ask you what's your role, and then we personalize your learning and give you our guided learning path. So if you're a product manager, you get a different experience to a UX designer, to whoever you may be. It's completely personalized to your role. And And that's really important in any learning tool or any learning initiative that companies run. That's got to be personalized. Otherwise, if you're just giving them a big library, you're, you know, it's like sending someone and saying, go learn. You know, it's not going to happen. You'll have a lot of friction and people will just get confused and drop off, right? So in our system, we solve it through personalization using skills taxonomy tied to your role. And then what's really important for learning is that people need to see progress. So this notion of progress, very quick progress, is really important. So, you know, any platform that is trying to drive that engagement should focus on giving that kudos, this validation to the user, not, you know, 3 months later, 2 months later. We are living in a world of instant gratification, to give that recognition sooner rather than later. So we do that on our platform. We have gamification and levels and stuff like that. And people really quickly see progress, or they feel they see progress, right? A great consumer app that does it is Duolingo. You know, Duolingo also does the same thing when you're language learning. It's a great example of, you know, an app that gives you that recognition fairly quickly.
Definitely. I've been really falling into that.
So, but those are the principles that we're using. And where we, on the workplace, where things become a bit different. So I think bite sizing and recognition, gamification is, you know, consumer apps do really well in the learning space, like the likes of Duolingo. And you know, obviously we're doing that. And, you know, you can just ask anyone who's on Duolingo, and you're like, why are you on a 500-day streak? There are people who've been on a 500-day streak.
I've been on, like, I think I've been on a really, really long streak like this. It was like, it's just mental. You just really want to keep your streak. I don't want to lose it. I don't want to start over again. And you redo it every day.
Exactly. And in the process, you're learning and you're building that skill set, right? The one thing which is needs to be done differently in the work context is, I mean, bringing back this concept of social and peer learning, right? Because, and that's again, something that, you know, we have baked into the platform where, you know, teams learn together. The team manager is a very, very important entity or element in our learning system. And it should be in most learning systems, because ultimately, you know, who in a company, people who know, you know, the person who knows best what you need to upskill on is your manager, or someone who's leading an initiative, because they see all the different elements, and the right managers will do their level best to help you unlock your potential as a team member. So the managers in our system can help ensure the teams are learning together, that everyone in their, you know, in their team is building that skill set. And that's why we've given a lot of importance to what a manager can see, what a manager can share, and how a manager can bring a team together to be on that learning journey. You know, some customers of ours, you know, what they do is that their managers, they will just allocate learning moments. So every first five minutes, they will just discuss in their team meeting, hey, what have they learned, you know, last week? And get the team to share it with other colleagues in the team. So building that learning culture inside the team, so that many teams do that, that trickles up to the organization. And then, you know, so the team is very, very important to drive that learning behavior.
Hey everyone, I'm your host, Daphne Laforêt, founder of Modern Leaders, a consulting collective enabling you to walk the talk and scale your company for the remote first future. Our team comes from over a decade of distributed team leadership experience, where we work with organizations from 25 to 5,000 employees. And I am so excited to have put together this podcast to share with you everything that we've been learning over the years. This is the Remote First Podcast.
Yeah, and you were mentioning a bit earlier, you said you were like, you know, there's ways that learning differently depending of like yourself as an individual, as a team or a company. Do you have like things that you can recommend? Do you know how one can learn better as an individual, or how can a team learn better together, or a company? Like what would be your two cents there?
Yeah, I think so on the individual level, you know, I think it's kind of going back to the basics, like how we learned back, you know, when we were kids or at school and things like that. So it's about breaking things down, you know, that whole concept of chunking, repeating, repetition, and then recall, you know, asking yourself, like, if you've learned something, trying to quiz yourself, you know, when you're walking around saying, hey, what did I learn last week? What did I really learn last week? What did I read? What did I learn? And then challenging yourself to recall what you've learned is actually a great way of building your long-term memory. So it's about not binging, not like doing something just an hour before some big meeting and just, you know, binging on your learning, and just space it out and do it regularly. That's the best thing you can do. I think there's some techniques that are very, very important. you know, things like the Pomodoro technique, you know, which is 25 minutes of, you know, heavy focus and then a 5 minute break and repeating your focused activity and learning in these intervals is supposed to do much, much better because for those 25 minutes, you're super focused, cut out all the distractions. And those 5 minutes, you are kind of doing other things, relaxing, chilling, but in the background, your memory, you know, your neural synapses are still building. So you're still learning, but you're working, your brain is working in a diffuse mode. While in the 25 minutes, it was in a sort of focus mode. So that's like just the individual techniques that you can use. You know, sometimes, you know, we tend to focus on a problem too much. We, you know, we try to solve that problem, our head is on that problem, but sometimes the best ideas come to you when you're not thinking about a problem. So a good way of learning and solving problems is also sometimes not focusing on them because, you know, your brain is doing all the processing in the background. So that's at the individual level. I think at a team level, you know, again, those team learning moments are really, really important, especially when you're in a remote distributed world that, you know, and that's where, you know, I think managers can do some really cool things. You know, when you're having your team meetings, you know, kind of kick off with, hey, what have we learned last week? You know, let's share our learnings. You know, I know some great teams actually just create learning moments in their calendar. So they will say, hey, this is 20 minute learning time for everybody to go learn something new. So creating those moments inside a team unit is really, really powerful. I think what's also important is to unlearn within a team. So you know, it's not just about, hey, what have we learned? It's about what can we unlearn, i.e. what do we do differently? You know, what do we think? What was our hypothesis? What do we think would work? But it did not. So it's not just about learning in a team environment. You got to unlearn as well. So you can share openly, hey, what's working and what's not working, and keep harnessing that spirit of curiosity. I think what's also important is that, you know, managers and leaders need to really lead from the front. So it's all well and good telling everybody, hey, create these learning moments and all that. But you as a leader, if you're not doing that, then, you know, you're not going to be able to build that culture. And, you know, if you don't have a knowledge in a certain area, it's important to, you know, accept those gaps and say, hey, look, this is my area, which, you know, not my level of expertise, and but I'm ready to invest and build in that area. So I think that's a team dynamic. I think lastly, very important is at a company level, I think companies also need to understand, you know, how do people actually learn and try to apply those principles of learning that, you know, like how we actually learn and apply it to some of the trainings that they may be running. You know, there's so many, especially if you're in a distributed environment, you know, you have these lunch and learn sessions, maybe 40, 50% will show up and then maybe an hour, 2 hours, the people who don't show up, you know, the likelihood of them going back through that 1 hour session is very, very low, you know? So how can you change it? Maybe you don't do an hour session. Maybe you chunk it and you do it over time. You know, maybe you do 4 sessions of 15 minutes each. So simple things, applying the principles of learning to how you're running internally any of the sessions organization-wide. And then also, you know, I think, you know, learning is kind of a checkbox exercise for in a lot of companies, unfortunately. And I think it's something that, you know, if you really want to build that, you know, a culture of innovation, you got to build that culture of curiosity. You are not going to be innovative in this day and age. You will not be able to adapt to change if you're a people not curious. So curiosity is a core value in the company, needs to be really embraced. And the ways to do that are obviously not making learning a checkbox exercise. You're rewarding people for their learning, not just the outcomes, but also what have they learned in the process. Is something some really, really good companies do, you know, getting people to ask questions. I think Google has this famous quote, you know, we run this company on questions is, I think, one of the Google quotes I came across. And just encouraging people to learn and grow. You know, Novartis does this, Novartis prides itself on that culture of learning. And I believe they give something like 5% learning time to their people just to encourage that culture of learning that they can go and learn, discover new things that they obviously eventually, you know, end up applying to their job and driving that innovation.
And also like being, owning their learning journey as well. Like it's not necessarily just something that's actually like if they have a budget for learning, if they have like a place they can go to or a place they can get any books they want and discover a better company or, you know, these kind of like place where we just want you to learn here and having a place for learning that is a safe space to learn as well.
Absolutely. I think, you know, it kind of fundamentally boils down to the same thing. You know, we're all super curious. That's in our DNA. That's how, you know, we evolve and how we've grown as humans. So instead of dimming that curiosity, which unfortunately happens in most organizations at a certain stage, it's about how can companies pull that fire behind that curiosity, allowing people to, you know, or guiding them in the right path, but letting employees then run with it. You know, it's like a flywheel. You know, you got to push it and nudge it a little bit, and then the flywheel will automatically start rolling and rolling and build up momentum and momentum before you know it. But you need to nudge it a little bit, guide it a little bit before that flywheel starts spinning.
I love that analogy. Hey, thank you so much, Saurabh, for coming on the podcast and sharing about what you're working on and, you know, how learning is broken. We need to fix it. And I really hope that, you know, the audience will learn from this podcast itself, you know, and have this part of their learning journey. So thank you very much for joining. Is there anything you'd like to end on for the episode? Maybe people can contact you in some way.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you very much for having me. I really enjoyed this conversation, and especially talking about what, you know, learning means in a distributed world of work. We're 5 minutes. So our website is 5mins, that's number 5mins.ai. So please do check us out. You know, we would love your feedback. Download our app. It's 5mins available on the App Store. Go have a play and give us your feedback. You know, we'd love to hear from users. Helps us make our product better and help you guys in your kind of learning journeys and your journeys of curiosity.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for tuning in to Remote First. You can find all links and show notes in the episode description. And if you found value in this show, we'd love your rating on your listening app of choice. Thank you for being here. See you next time.